A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you today?
I'm well.
Having a big time so far?
Uh-huh. This week was better than last week when I got snowed in and snowed out.
I had water in my basement this week.
Well, that's because you did something that you tell everyone else to do, but you didn't do it yourself.
I completely forgot. Yes, my downspout, one of them, did not vent or kick out far enough away from the base of the house.
Yep.
I had a really kind of a perfect storm scenario happen. I have a driveway slab that sunk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's created this little bit of a 1-inch lip
right
between the next slab and it. And the downspout just falls short of getting
there
over that lip.
Yep.
And so it creates this nice little lake, which ended up pouring straight into the basement. This must be new because this has not happened before.
Well,
so I'm thinking that slab might have sunk a little bit more.
That's entirely possible.
But anyway, I have to make some adjustments. And I will do so, and have already done so, after I mopped up the problem in the basement. But it's definitely worth taking a trip around the house today. You know, we've got spring rain coming eventually.
We've already had spring rain. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and more is coming.
Yeah.
So just make sure all the downspouts are attached. Sometimes the snow, you know, coming off the roof or whatever can knock them loose.
Right.
Make sure they're all attached and make sure they kick away far enough from the base of the house.
Right. There's lesson one
the free
of the
tip
day
for the day. Now, let's get to the show.
Yes.
At the end of the show today, we're going to give away some tickets to the Home and Garden Show coming up starting February 28th, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, it starts then. So we've got some free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give them away at the end of the show. We're also going to be talking with Nick Sargent from Johnson Carpet One about countertops.
Well, and if you're changing your countertops, that might mean that you're possibly thinking about changing up your old oak cabinets. And that's why we've got Shelly Kuipers from Shelly's Kitchens in the studio today, because they have a really cool process for taking your cabinet doors and painting them and having your entire kitchen looking like new instead of stuck in the 80s.
Yeah, we're going to have Shelly walk us through the process. But right now, let's talk about the history of our homes. You know, it's a very interesting idea to dig into who was behind the home that we live in right now. Who built it?
Especially
who
if lived you own there? An older home.
Right. If you built it, this is less interesting.
Right. But you
know the people really well.
Well, but you might want to research
somebody else's home.
Well, or a building in town that you really are drawn to, that you really think is cool. And, well, what did that used to be?
Right. And the reason you would do this, there are a number of reasons why you might dig into the history of your home.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is if you ever plan to do some remodeling or restoration, you really do, of course, need to know exactly what it used to be. You know, what was it like in the past? If you want to get it back to that, that's a no-brainer.
Right.
More importantly to me, it can answer questions about our homes. Because if you live in an older home, like I did in Zealand, there are weird things.
Yeah, sometimes things are in a weird place, a weird door or a weird window. And why is that in the middle of the house?
Don't know why it's there. Right. I had kitchen cabinets that were super high.
Okay.
You know, I could stand there and the base of the cabinet, the lowest shelf, was at my forehead height.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's way up there. Kind of strange.
So it's pushing 5'8", 5'9", where that is.
Right.
So the rest of the cabinet is a normal full-size cabinet that goes up to the 10-foot ceiling. So it was impossible to reach even the second shelf without a ladder.
Right.
Even normal-sized people that would come through the house said, why are those cabinets so high?
Yep.
We wondered about that for the, 12 of the 15 years that we were there. The reason we stopped wondering is a lady stopped by the house, 3 years before we moved, asked if she could go through because her dad had built the house.
Ah.
Oh, so we had all kinds of questions that we got answered, all kinds of little crazy things. But that particular situation, we found out those cabinets were that high because her dad had a chest freezer in the kitchen. And they needed to be able to open the lid to get things in
that
and out.
That makes sense.
The only place to put it was under those cabinets, so the cabinets were built high enough to accommodate. So we found those questions answered.
Right.
And you can find a lot of that by digging into the history of your house. And even if that's not what you're concerned about, it's just a ton of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And I'm kind of glad you're having fun with this project, because the first time I put that idea out there to you, you kind of looked at me like I was crazy. And I'm like, just wait. And the thing is, a lot of people go straight to the internet and they say, this is where I'm going to start my search. And if it doesn't exist on the internet, then it just doesn't exist at all.
Which is what I did. Right. So I Google it.
And you thought I was crazy when I said, this will be fun. And you Googled it and you looked at me and said, there's nothing here.
Right. Well, there is stuff there. It's just
not very minimal.
It's not a lot of fun information. So
right.
It is a good place to start.
Yeah.
Because when I did that, I found out, you know, the square footage of the home, things
right.
that I knew.
Right.
But everything is there, you know, property values and all kinds of property
right.
notes.
Right.
So you can get a good start that way.
Yeah.
You'll get some of the past owners, but it doesn't go back very, very far.
Yeah. The register of deeds generally for the different counties, you can get, sometimes you can get the building permits that have been pulled. So you know when additions have been put on and things like that. And you can also go back, I don't know, maybe the past 3-4 owners, it'll tell you when they purchased it. So you can get back a little ways, but they don't give you everything.
So if you're thinking about, you know, just researching your home or an old building just for fun, the place to start, of course, is the internet. Just
right.
do a little Googling.
Yep.
And who knows what you'll find. You know, one thing that probably the most interesting thing that we found on the internet, at least in this initial phase of the search, was something called a Sanborn map.
Yeah.
Now, the Sanborn Map Company published these detailed maps of various U.S. cities and towns, and I think they were, like, started around the 1870s and 80s, something.
Yeah,
that's when they were first published.
About every 5 years, they put out a new map, and it was for insurance companies so that they would know what they're liable for. So it would have, like, the building materials of structures, and they would show your property lines and exactly where buildings and porches and things like that were on your property.
Yeah, super detailed maps.
Yep.
You can find a number of them online.
Yeah, the Library of Congress, I think, has
just
quite a few.
Google Sanborn maps.
Yep.
And I started looking and I found about the time frame when my house showed up.
Right.
You know, I go to a certain map and there's nothing in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years later, there's a house there now.
Right.
Okay. So now I knew about when it was built.
Yep.
That's the beginning of the search.
Right.
But then it gets way more fun after that. And you actually have to go do old-time sleuthing kind of things.
That's
you
the fun
gotta
part.
You got to start heading out. And this is where we have had so much fun. We have not spent a ton of time on this, but my mind has been spinning about this ever since we broke this idea open. We went to the Herrick Public Library
right
in Holland here. And they had a number of resources, old school resources, books, they're called.
Yes.
And one of the things that we found so interesting were the Polk directories, P-O-L-K, Polk directories. And basically, it's like an old-fashioned Yellow Pages.
Yeah, a little bit. And the fun thing about these is you don't just look up by name because sometimes you don't have the name of
the person.
I
didn't know who lived in my house or who built it. I had no idea who the guy's name was.
Right. So they do what they call a reverse lookup. It's kind of like the reverse phone lookup that you can do on the internet now, except this was addresses. So you could go and find the address of your old house, and it would tell you who owned the house at that point. And a lot of times it would tell you what they did for a living.
Yes. So I did that. I look it up. I find it was a gentleman with the last name of Verhaeghe. He was, I believe, from my initial research, the owner of something called the Verhaeghe Milling Company, which in more research that we did, turns out used to be right on the lot where Cityside Middle School in Zealand currently is. So all of this starts to come together.
Right.
And now I've got a name to work with.
Yeah.
So from there, we start researching and going to different newspaper articles. All of this at the library. We're pulling books. We're checking things.
Yeah.
I find obituaries. I know the wife now. Now and then I found a picture of the lady who came to my house. Sadly, she passed away a couple years ago. But all of this comes together. It was so interesting.
Well, and this is a great time to get to know your librarian because they are there to help you and they are waiting for people to come and ask questions like this because it is exciting. And they have all of this information that doesn't necessarily get utilized. You know, they have binders for historic districts that tell if a home in that district is of relevance, you know, if it was a really important house and why it was. And they're going to have all kinds of microfilm things. So you can go back and look at newspapers. They're going to have those actual Sanborn maps that you can look at.
Definitely.
They
check
just
it
have
out.
So much stuff.
There are so many resources. Local newspapers.
Yeah.
Head there. Talk to people. College and university archives. Western
Western Michigan University. Yeah, I actually worked in their archives for a whole semester, archiving stuff that people give you when they pass away. All their stuff comes to you. And they have a ton of stuff. And there's actually a lot of stuff from the Holland and Grand Rapids area. So you might head there for information.
Check that out. Museums, the Zeeland Museum, the Holland Museum, Grand Rapids.
Yep.
There are so many resources. We could go on and on. This was so much fun. You just get this information and you start to unravel little bits mm-hmm. of a story. I'm in the initial stages of this process, figuring uh-huh. things out. But it's fun when you have no idea.
Right.
The history behind your home. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden you find a couple of things and it starts to yep. tease out a story and you just keep digging. Mm-hmm. You head back to the internet. You look for things. Ancestry.com. It's a paid website.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth thinking about, right? You
oh,
used
yeah.
it, Betsy.
Yep. I have a membership and I absolutely love it. You can find so much stuff on there.
There is way more that we could say. We'd love to spend more time on this, but we've got to get going because Shelley is going to be here talking about kitchen cabinets. So we're going to have to just cut this one short and
exactly.
call it good. We'll be back in the studio with Shelley Kuipers in just a second. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And here we are once again. Betsy's
here. Yep.
Dragging the show down.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
It's what you do.
Uh-huh. Well, this is very cool because we are in the studio right now with Shelley Kuipers from Shelley's Kitchens, and there are a number of things that make this exciting for me. First of all,
I'm here. That makes it pretty
that
exciting.
Has nothing to
Shelley,
do with
do
how
you agree?
Exciting it is.
No, I would definitely agree.
Oh my goodness!
See,
how
there
much
we go.
Did you pay her to say that?
Nothing yet.
Yet.
No money has exchanged
coming.
Hands.
It's coming. Depending on how many times she agrees with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see how that goes. Anyway, I'm excited because we talked at our last home expo back in January to tons of people about kitchen cabinets and painting them and things like that. And obviously, it sounds like that's something you do. Plus, you are a woman who owns a business, and that is not something you find every day. There are fewer women business owners. So that's empowering to all the women out there. So first of all, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm happy to be here.
No.
Oh, you are sucking up.
No. It's woman power
okay.
in here.
It All is right. woman power.
Way
I'll just fade to the background.
Yeah.
I am outnumbered.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys do at Shelley's Kitchens?
Well, we take kitchen cabinets that are dated.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, they are oak cabinets, and they are very well built, very sturdy. They are just stuck in the 80s.
Right.
And we take them and give them a brand new finish and put everything back together, and it looks like you have a brand new kitchen.
That's one of the things that we ran into at the show. Like Betsy's saying, everybody came in, and they all point at, because we had a little oak door there,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
a cabinet door, and we had it painted in various stages of the process to show the priming step, the all the
yes.
different steps. And everybody came in and said, that's my kitchen. How do I make it look all
yes.
clean and new and fresh?
Right.
And like you said, a lot of the cabinets are in good shape.
They're
well built.
Yeah.
It's just that the color and the presentation is so dated.
True.
And we want to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Now, that's what you come and do. And one other interesting thing, I guess I'm going to get on the girl power wagon
yes!
as much as
Yay!
I possibly can. You do this with an entirely female crew.
We do. I have 14 ladies that work for me.
Wow.
And they are awesome. I cannot say enough good stuff about them. But I think one of the things that I like so much about each and every one of them is they all have a true passion to do a truly, truly excellent job. And I think when you have people, all the people in your business that really desire for the project to turn out really, really
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
it makes a big difference in how it finishes up compared to a few people that care and a few people that don't. I mean, they just, I can't say enough good about them. I couldn't do what I do without them.
So you're just doing the kitchen cabinets, not the painting of walls and things like that in a kitchen?
No, we don't do any of that.
Okay.
I have people that I can refer for something like that,
mm-hmm.
but we love doing cabinets, and we're we're good at it. So I guess I'm thinking if we have found our niche, there's a lot of ugly oak cabinets out there, a lot of them. Oh, and I aim to fix that one kitchen at a time.
It's your mission.
It is my mission to de-oak West Michigan.
Right. Now, can you walk us through the process? If someone calls you and says, my cabinets are terrible, what is the first thing that happens? Tell us how we go about doing all of this.
Okay. If you were to call me today and say, Shelley, I have ugly oak cabinets. I need them fixed. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that you go to my website because there is a ton of good information on there. There is also a form that can be filled out that just has a number of questions on it. And once those are answered and I have a few pictures of your kitchen, I can give you a price via email. So then, you know, if you had called and you said you wanted this done, that's what I would tell you to do. Okay. I would give you a price via email, very specific about what it includes. People like to know what they're getting into. Yep. They don't like unpleasant surprises as far as finances go. Mm-hmm. So I'm very specific what it includes, what might possibly cost a little bit more. So once you get that email and have a chance to review it, if you like the price, which I tell people I think you will, then we send a decorator out to your home. And we work with a lady named Harmony. Mm-hmm. Her business is Colors and Harmony. She does an excellent, excellent job. But she would go to your house and say you're wanting to have your cabinets painted, but you're also going to replace your counter and your backsplash. Harmony can help you pull all of those things together, which I think is really nice. So,
now, is that an added charge for Harmony to do that?
No, it is not.
Oh,
it
really?
Is something...
So she'll work with us
yep.
and help us get where we want to go.
Yes.
That's cool.
That is something that is included in the price. We need to remember that this is something we do all the time. So for us, colors aren't a big deal. Mm-hmm. But Betsy, you're probably not going to have your kitchen painted more than once or twice in your lifetime.
Right.
So for you, colors... Well, of course, you work for Repco Light, so colors might be a natural thing for you, but assuming that you didn't,
right.
Colors are not natural for everybody. Right. They don't see undertones, mm-hmm. and they don't know what they want.
Right.
So well, that,
and they might have come from a bad experience where exactly what you're talking about has happened. They've picked colors that they thought looked good. They get them all up, and now undertones that they weren't aware of all of a sudden show up on a much bigger scale.
All of a sudden get kitchen cabinets, and they look... baby blue instead of white.
Yes.
And all of this work and all of this time, and it creates this really bad vibe, this bad experience.
Yeah.
Whereas you're sending in a decorator.
Well, and I do think people feel a lot more comfortable having somebody come in that this is what they do. And you can see pictures of what she has done on her Facebook page. So now people have a little bit more added confidence. Yeah, this isn't somebody that's just decided yesterday to say, hey, I can do color consultations. She has stuff to back that up to show that she knows what she's doing. Our prices aren't high. I don't think they are, and I don't think our clients think they are either, because it's rare that we don't get a job that we bid. But people are spending enough money to have this done that we want them to feel comfortable, not like, did I choose the right color?
Right.
But more like, Harmony was here and this is what we picked out and I feel really, really comfortable with this.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing.
Shelley, we're about out of time on this segment. Can you hold over the break? Because I know that I have more questions and I'm sure Dan has tons of questions because...
Just say no, Shelley. I want to see what Betsy does if you say no.
No, you know what? A cup of coffee could motivate me to stick around a little bit longer.
Oh, we can absolutely get that for you.
All right. Well, then count me in.
All right. We'll be back in the studio with Shelley Kuypers after a break. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back, and I guess this is the girl power segment, so
yes,
I'm going to just fade to the background. Betsy, take it away. Girl power.
Well, I'm glad that Shelley decided to stay because I am very intrigued by the process that you have. You were just talking about how you send a decorator out to people's homes, and it's included in the price, and I feel that that's kind of a rare thing. I mean, I'll be honest, I have never heard of someone sending a decorator to your home,
right, to help you pick colors for kitchen cabinets,
right,
or kitchen cabinet redo, which,
right,
is what you specialize in.
It is,
right, Shelley?
Yes.
Shelley's Kitchens, that makes sense.
Yes.
That makes absolute sense. So once Harmony has come out and helped us choose the colors for our cabinets and things, what's the next step? Because I do want to finish up so people know kind of what they're getting into.
Okay. I want to back up and say something here about Harmony real quick.
Has she been in jail, or, I mean, do you have something really bad to dish on?
Well, she does go to Fit Body Boot Camp, so you might not want to take her off.
So you might want to take that back.
No, Harmony is awesome. But, okay, Betsy, back to the example of, say, that you were interested in having your kitchen done, and mm-hmm, I've given you a price now via email.
Yep.
So when you say, yes, Shelley, I would like you and your team of awesome ladies to do this for me, that is when we send somebody out to Harmony's. When you have made a concrete decision, yes, we want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes out there, helps you out, picks out the color with you. Any other questions you might have, I tell people you have her for an hour. Ask the questions you need to. She picks up a deposit check, which is what we require before we get you on the calendar.
Okay.
And then we get you on the calendar. It is a 13-day turnaround time from the time that we get your doors and drawers down to bring them back to the shop for all the work to be done there, and then the time we put them back together. The biggest amount of time is spent on the doors and drawers at the shop because we're doing both sides of things, and we're doing at least 3 coats on each side.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes time to be, right, able to flip things over and continue on.
Now, why don't we talk, since we're at this part of the process, mm-hmm, you've got, what product do you put on there, first
Benjamin Moore Advance. No. I love it.
Now, we talk about that.
Oh, my word.
A lot. But you use it all the time, and you love it. Why do you love it?
Oh, my goodness. It has a very, very nice durable finish.
Mm-hmm.
It sprays out. We spray everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have a gorgeous new spray booth. I have to say that right here.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to as well.
Yes. You've been itching to talk about that.
Yes. So it sprays out beautifully. It has a very nice, even sheen to it. It's just an excellent product. It dries quickly enough that we can flip it over, you know, within a couple of days and do the other side. It's a good product. I can't say enough good stuff about it.
Well, tell us about that spray booth, because that's not just a spray booth.
No, we have...
It's really unique.
Oh, it is. I like it. We were in a different location before the one that we're in now, and we had an open face spray booth, and our problem was it was venting stuff out, and we had a really difficult time in Michigan when the weather is cold, pulling enough warm air back in to make it comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And our business continues to grow, so we opted to move to a different location. We're still in the Jenison area, about a half a mile from where we were before. But we thought, okay, if we're going to make this move, this is a good time to invest in a different spray booth. So what we have now is 24 by 13. It is actually large enough to paint a car in it. So if anybody wants to rent it out for a weekend to paint a car, it's available. But, yeah, it is totally enclosed. It's, like, totally up to code. It has got the fire suppression in it, everything else. It truly is beautiful. If a spray booth could be beautiful, my spray booth is beautiful. One of my favorite things about it is the fact that it has a bake cycle.
That's the thing that I think is so fun.
Well,
you can make cookies. Wow.
I was going to ask, can I bring my Christmas cookies and bake them in your giant oven?
It doesn't go to more than 190 degrees.
Oh,
but
okay.
The ladies at the shop have joked about bringing their dinner in and crock-potting it very, very slowly in the spray booth.
Gotcha.
But it's just a really neat feature where it allows things to dry a little bit quicker, and I just think a baked finish is even better than something that dries on its own. We don't dry it at a real high temperature because we don't want to run into issues. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had it maybe at 120 degrees in there. And yes, I have talked with my Benjamin Moore rep, and he has given the green light, the thumbs up to doing that.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we don't want people, our clients, to have problems down the road.
Right.
But No, I love my spray booth.
It's a really, really unique setup.
It is the coolest thing I've seen.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So you get the cabinet doors. You set a 13-day turnaround time. Mm-hmm. You come back, put them all back up.
Yes. Yep.
And what about the bases and everything that's left in the house? When do you paint that?
Okay. I'm going to back up a little bit more again here if I could. So, Betsy, back mm-hmm. to you again. Say you decided that you wanted us to do this. A week before we're scheduled to start your project, you would get an email from me saying, Chrissy is going to be the person that's going to take your doors and drawers down. Plan mm-hmm. on her at Tuesday between 9 and 9:30. Here's what you need to do to prepare. Chrissy is also going to be the one that is painting it, and here's what you can do to prepare for that. I want people to be totally aware of what's going on, who's going to be there, mm-hmm. when, a way to contact them directly if for some reason they can't get a hold of me. I think we've all been on the receiving end of somebody saying they're going to be at our house at a particular time and they don't show up and you don't know mm-hmm. how to get a hold of them.
Right.
So we just want to be very respectful of people's time, and communication is key. So in your house, Chrissy would be there, say, Tuesday morning around 9. She mm-hmm. would get your doors and drawers down, and then she would stay and work for the day. Depending on the size of the project, she might possibly finish in one day. Chances are much more likely that she's going to be back a second day at your house to finish painting the housing or the box portion. And then we normally put things back together 13 days later on a Monday, and that's usually maybe 2 or 3 hours that we're there. So we're not in the client's home for very long. Mm-hmm. And their kitchen really is very usable when we're doing the work.
So what about the hardware?
The brass.
Yeah. You know, it's got a certain look. Sometimes it's got mm-hmm. a certain configuration. How does that work?
A lot of the kitchens that we're seeing that we're doing are ones that also have exposed hinges. Mm. There are people that will tell you you cannot switch to hidden hinges, but 95% of the time you can. So that in itself is going to take another 20 years off from the look of your dated oak cabinets. And a lot of times the hardware is in a weird spot. And I will tell you, the ladies do such a good job filling the old hardware holes. I usually can't tell where they were with looking very, very hard to see mm-hmm. if I can find them. So between those three things, you know, having your cabinets done in a solid color, mm-hmm. Switching to hidden hinges and new hardware, you will look like you have a brand new kitchen for maybe 1/6 of the price of what it would have cost
to redo
everything.
People are going to
think mm-hmm. you spent tens of thousands of dollars to update your kitchen.
Well, in the mess that you live with much more indefinitely, I mean, this really, truly is an excellent way to do things. And I love what I do. I love the ladies that make it possible for us to do this. So I know this is my calling, and I'm going to do it until every oak kitchen is painted.
Well, if you have one of those oak kitchens, give Shelley a call. Or head over to her website at shelleyskitchens.com, S-H-E-L-L-Y-S, kitchens.com. Shelley Kuipers, thanks so much for being here.
You are very welcome. This was fun.
Now, coming up after the break, we're going to talk about choosing countertops with the one and only Nick Sargent. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And we are in the studio right now with Johnson Carpets, Nick Sargent. Nick,
hello.
Thanks for being here again.
Yes.
You're kind of like our go-to when I have questions that I just don't have any idea what the answer to is.
See, I would think I would be the go-to answer person for most things.
Ooh, no. That's where you would be wrong.
I would have asked Nick, too, some of these questions.
Well, okay, today I want to talk about countertops because
yes.
For me, they are confusing. I have looked at countertops. Mm-hmm. My mom wants to change hers, mm-hmm. but I don't even know where to begin. I mean, she kept saying, oh, granite, granite, granite.
Yep,
but I think that's because it's the only thing she knows.
Yes.
So walk us through the different types of countertops available.
Okay.
And then let's talk about some of the pros and cons.
Yeah, obviously.
These things would work.
So there's main two types of countertops. You have your solid surfaces, which are your quartz, your marbles, and your granites.
Okay.
That's what you see on all the home shows, and that's mm-hmm. what everybody tells you. You need those type of countertops.
Right.
The other type is we have laminated countertops. And everybody refers to them as Formica, which is a brand. So it's like the Kleenex of laminated countertops. but there's awesome. Also Wilson Art still makes laminated countertops okay. and like Pyonite and Arborite and things like that. Mm-hmm. So
why would you choose a laminate over a solid surface or vice versa? I mean, what is just the cost? Or
cost is one big difference. Laminated okay. countertops are less expensive.
Okay.
You know, and they're much more maintenance free. You know, they last a lot longer. You can change them more often if you wanted to, because mm-hmm. a lot of times we can just laminate on top of a existing laminate countertop or you just peel the laminate off and just because there's deck board underneath mm-hmm. and you go on top of it. So
potentially they could even be installed by a savvy do-it-yourselfer.
Yes, they can.
I have done my own. I didn't have any seams. I didn't want to mess with seams. My particular mm-hmm. kitchen laid out that mm-hmm. I didn't have that. And I had to learn a few things with the router to get the edges right.
Yeah.
But, that's one benefit of those.
And, the visual on those have come a long way. A lot of them look really, 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 really realistic these mm-hmm. days. I mean, they're constantly improving how they look. I mean, they have great feel, touch. They're not like those old just one color or, those 70s patterns, Even though those are in style sometimes. But you don't have to do them.
Is there a, what is the word, stigma? I mean, there's this idea that if I go to that, that's... Does that really exist?
People feel that way? And I think that's driven a lot by, home shows and stuff like that. You know, mm-hmm. what you see on TV is everybody's like, oh, you need granite,
Right.
Well, not necessarily everybody wants, granite. Mm-hmm. it's more money. There's more maintenance involved. There's more, pros and cons to each. So you can get the great marble or stone look, but mm-hmm. for a lot less cost in a laminated top.
And a little easier to take care of.
Yes. So
let's talk about some of these mm-hmm. higher end counter options then. Mm-hmm. Granite, marble,
quartz.
Does Corian exist anymore?
Corian still exists out there. And, they do make some great visuals these days. And there's, certain people who love that look. And I will tell you, it works in some aspects. The biggest thing about Corian is because it's used in hospitals and, it's antimicrobial, diseases and stuff can't mm-hmm. grow on it or viruses. So, there's some people who do want something like that. And Corian does fit that market. So.
Okay. But okay, so let's go back to what does your mom want? She wants granite.
Yes.
Granite or something like that. She thinks that she has to have a solid surface. But right. I'm trying to figure out because she has a huge kitchen and there's a massive amount of countertops in there.
Yeah.
What are there drawbacks to some of these solid surfaces? You were talking about, the porous ones and things like that. Are they going to stain? Are they going to look bad?
Well, the most popular is what about most people do these days are quartz.
Okay.
And quartz are they're non-porous product. They're mm-hmm. usually reconstituted materials of some sort. Some of them have sparkles because there's glass. And,
ooh, I would like that.
Yeah. They're chunky and they can make them look like granites and marbles these days too, more of the marble aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that in just a second here. But quartz are a great product. I mean, they clean easy, they're very, very durable.
Okay.
Honestly, if you have a problem with quartz, something's awful wrong with the house. Like it's beyond normal wear and tear. Like you have a bigger issue. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be concerned about any of that. The biggest thing is people want undermount sinks these days, or they want farmhouse sinks.
Yeah.
To do that in a laminated top, there's some other processes involved, and it ends up being very, very expensive.
With plastic laminate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Or just as much as doing a solid surface. So why at that point you don't do a solid surface? Solid surface, we can do the undermount sinks
mm-hmm.
or the farmhouse sinks, and we can, play with those things.
And that's what she wants.
Yes.
So you can do that with quartz. You can do that with granite.
Yeah.
And marble.
How does quartz compare to granite?
Well,
because I know granite, if it's not sealed, or do they all come sealed now? Because that
the
was an
sealers,
issue in the beginning.
Yeah. So the sealers, the fabricator the sealer is going to use on them, they last like 15 plus years.
Okay.
Granites tend to be, I call them like the splotchy ones. And they tend to be darker. So there's a lot of color going on with them. You'll see like blues and greens and, browns and blacks and, just a lot of colors. And they're kind of like splotchy and it's like all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quartz is more even in that regard?
Quartz can be more even,
okay.
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So you know, at that point, there's a lot going on. So if you somehow do stain it, which is really, really hard to do, it's not going to be that noticeable in a granite. So it's the marbles, and that's like Carreras, you know, that's the white, the pretty, mm-hmm. and the big veins in it. And,
right.
You know, the very luxurious, like, ooh, ah. you know, that's the one that has the most issues, you know, if not taken care of correctly, because marble is softer, so it's porous.
Okay.
You got to be a little bit more on it. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a big baker, mm-hmm. there's nothing like doing dough on Carrera. It just needs the best. It is the easiest thing to do.
Well, like, what is it at all the when the, where they make fudge? They're always doing that on marble.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's talking bread. I'm talking fudge.
They do sell marble slabs.
Yes. Yes.
You know, just smaller chunks that you can do, mm-hmm. like you said, fudge or whatever.
Well, I'm going to get one.
Yeah.
And then I can make all the fudge I want.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then when I am no longer with us, could that be etched and then crammed into the ground where I'm buried? And could I double duty this thing? Could that be my
I don't
monument?
Know, but, you know, the granite monopoly for headstones might have an issue with that.
Oh, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Okay. Are quartz and granite roughly the same price, or are you paying more for one than the other?
Yes. So, you know, there's different grades, or there's different tiers, uh-huh. I should say. You know, most of the fabricators, and we all stock, like, maybe, like, 5 to 10 stock versions of it. And those are all roughly the same price point. There are granite houses or stone houses you can go to, and they have the most beautiful things. Like, some of them are like artwork. Like, I'm like, I don't even want to put it on a counter. I want to take that slab and mount it on a wall. They are so beautiful. And, you know, they range from A to Z. Mm-hmm. And when you get to Z, they're going to be more expensive.
Okay.
So.
So pretty much every price range.
Yes.
But it sounds like maybe that's a better option if you're looking at one of those cool designer sinks, the undermount or the farmhouse, which is very popular, by the way.
Yeah.
So if people do have questions and they're getting ready to tackle a project like this, they can see samples at Johnson
Carpet? Yeah, so we have samples. We have a lot of the different quartz lines, and we do have some of the more popular granites and marbles available. You know, when we get to more uniques, then we take them to the granite houses, or we take them to the fabricators. You know, if you're doing a small project like a small bath vanity, we can look at remnants, because, you know, a lot of times when you do a full kitchen, you pay for all the material, but you don't get to keep the material.
Right.
And that's called a remnants.
Okay.
So then we go and we pick out remnants, and, you know, it can be very cost effective to do that. So.
All right. So if our listeners are interested in pursuing this a little bit, Nick, how's the best way to get in touch with you?
Just come into Johnson Carpet. We're downtown Granville. You know, we've been there almost, I think, 70 years now, or we're hitting that mark one of these days. So,
should be able to find them pretty easy.
Right.
Nick Sargent from Johnson Carpet One, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And there you go, Betsy. It's over already. I just spilled my coffee. I made it the whole episode, and I didn't spill my coffee.
Until now. And now there's a giant puddle.
It's dripping. We'll be mopping that up shortly. But let's take care of the business at hand very quickly.
Yeah.
If you want to hear this episode or any of our past episodes, you can find them online at repcolite.com.
Right.
Get there and check that out.
Right. And make sure you're liking us on Facebook, because the Home and Garden Show is coming up and you're going to want to see what we're doing out there. And speaking of the Home and Garden Show,
let's give away some tickets that are not drenched in coffee
yet. we have, how many pairs do we have?
Three pairs right now. We're going to give more away in the upcoming
weeks.
We've got 20 total pair.
Right.
But right now we're giving away three pair of tickets.
Right. To the first three people who email us, radio@repcolite.com.
Yeah, an easy address, radio@repcolite.com. First three senders will each win a pair of tickets to the upcoming Home and Garden Show. And whatever you decide to do today, make sure that you make paint a part of it. Repcolite and Port City Paint Stores are open until 3 o'clock.
Absolutely.
Carrying a full line of Benjamin Moore and amazing Repcolite products.
Yes.
Stop out and see us. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And in an upcoming week, we will give you the best steps to get coffee out of your carpet without a stain.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.